This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
On a third and one, with the push.
319,
yep, one more time, rugby.
And look at the black jersey just flying in there. There's nothing you can do.
Nothing, except change the rule next year.
Right.
People can't do it like we can do it. They can't do it like we can do it. And so I'm making my plug right there. Like, don't ban this play. Like, if everyone could do it, everybody would. Where's the camera? If everybody could do it, everybody would do it.
I think that that's an excellent argument because the Bills should be more able to do it than anyone, and they struggle in doing it.
Yeah, man. Look, spoiler alert, that's where I am. They're good at it. The Eagles are good at it. This play, it is physical, it is violent, it is mauling, it is short yardage football. And I know that it can be dangerous, and not everybody's good at it, but man, I think it's lame as hell that Sean McDermott is one of those guys now who has come out and said he doesn't like the play because it's dangerous or whatever the hell he's saying is his reasoning. They tried to do it four times in the playoff game against the Chiefs and couldn't get it done.
What I think is weird about the backlash to the tush push, and by the way, welcome in Spiegel and Holmes. We're talking about some of the changes, the possible changes to the NFL rule book. And there have been people who don't like the tush push, and we'll get into some specifics in a minute. I just think that it's interesting in a time when people's main criticism of the NFL is it's not tough enough.
Yeah.
That you have this tough play, like the stereotypical man on man type of play, the physicality that we always say that we love.
Yeah.
It has been on display for the last, 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, no, let's not do this play.
Yeah, I don't even, I'm with you. I think it's ridiculous. It does feel connective to the rugby and Australian rules football roots of the whole thing. And that's kind of cool to me. I dig that. I think what's behind it is the fact that the Eagles are so good at it. And when they know they're this good at it, it changes what their mindset can be on third down and even second down. And just having that in your back pocket and not having to change personnel has changed the way that the game happens.
I get that there is a safety component to it, and I don't want to diminish that. But you saw it in the Super Bowl, Chris Jones was lined up almost horizontal to the line of scrimmage to try and stop it. And I was like, that's not, I don't know a lot about leverage, but that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone defensively is trying to figure out, well, do I just jump over the line of scrimmage? Is that the way to do it?
Yeah.
And we know we saw that inside of the playoffs as well.
I don't find it boring.
Like, I don't either.
There are people, former hosts on this station who do television shows and talk about how boring it is. And I disagree with that gentleman.
Oh, is that why you think he doesn't like offensive line play?
Oh, no. No, it's because he, because all he ever cares about is getting wide receivers.
Oh, well, that's it's good to have those two.
Yeah, well, those are good, too. It's a balance. It's a balance. But either way, it's like, so now there's this push to remove the tush push. And we've found out now who's behind it. Like, which team is behind it? Sean McDermott's been on the record. Raheem Morris has been on the record. But it's the Packers. It's the Packers that have talked about it because they're the ones who put it out there as wanting it changed.
Here's what Brian Gutekunst said about the proposed ban.
Yeah, I'm aware of it. We really haven't had very many discussions about it. I'm sure we will over the next few weeks as we head into the owners' meetings. But so I'm aware that we did, but really haven't had many discussions about it. I know it's we're not very successful against it. I know that. But to be honest with you, I have not put much thought into it. It's been around for a while. We've used it in different fashions with our tight end. I think there'll be a lot of discussions about it. I got to kind of look at some of the information as far as injury rates, things like that, to see. But we'll see.
Mark Murphy, the Packers president, said on the team's website, quote, "There is no skill involved. And it is almost an automatic first down on plays of a yard or less."
There is skill involved.
There absolutely is.
And part of the reason that it works so well with Jalen Hurts.
Such a whining statement. Stupid Packers.
Goes back to him physically. Like who he is as a person.
Absolutely.
The fact that he can squat 600 pounds. That and now with Barkley back there in the backfield, a guy that can box squat. You know, like he's box squatting 600 pounds.
Hey, man, like I don't deny that Jalen Hurts is a very special profile to have your quarterback also be your short yardage option and a dominant one and not need to change personnel. You don't got to run God's play. You know what I mean?
You don't. And they run other stuff off of it, too. Yes. Like they've been successful in making. Didn't they run something off of it against the Bears or was that Dallas? I think that was Dallas. That lined up like they were going to do it, and then all of a sudden Dak goes out the back door and gets 20 yards on that play.
Listen to this whole Mark Murphy thing from the website. Ready? It's the president of the Packers. "I'm not a fan of this play. There's no skill involved. It's almost an automatic first down. The series of plays with the Commanders jumping off sides was ridiculous. I would like to see the league prohibit pushing or aiding the runner. Used to be a rule prohibiting this, but it's no longer enforced because I believe it was thought to be too hard for the officials to see. The play is bad for the game, and we should go back to prohibiting the push of the runner. It's a bring back the traditional quarterback sneak. That worked pretty well for Bart Starr and the Packers in the Ice Bowl." Oh, my God, I want to punch Mark Murphy right in his Packers stock. That's what I want to do.
Area code 414. Again, this is a gloating Packer fan. And you know what? You know what all you can do? You can basically bend over, grab your ankles, and kiss your own rear end.
Oh. So that's not KMA.
That escalated quickly.
KYOA.
Shane, you don't like punching him in his stock, in his Packers stock?
I feel like you could probably hit him somewhere where it hurts a little bit more than his piece of paper.
On the wall?
Stock.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's not what I meant. Huh? Anything about that?
I thought about it.
Yeah.
This is Nick Sirianni talking about how offensive the whole conversation is.
I think I've seen some of the stuff like, well, you know, that it's an automatic play or... You know, that it's not a, we work really, you know, I almost feel a little insulted because we work so hard at that play. The amount of things that we've looked into how to coach that play, the fundamentals, it's always, there's 1,000 plays out there, but it comes down to how you teach the fundamentals and then how the players go through and do with the fundamentals. I can't tell you how many times we practice the snap, we practice the play, because it's not a play that it's easy to practice. There's different ways we figured out how to practice it. The compliments that come off of it that can create explosive plays. Again, we saw it in big-time games this year, and the fact that it's an automatic thing, that like we work really, really hard, and our guys are talented at this play. Just because it's a successful play for us doesn't mean that it should go away.
The thing that I love about football, part of the reason that I love Blood, Sweat, and Chalk as a book is because all of this stuff is cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
that here's the single wing. All right, how do we stop that? Okay, cool. Now here's the wing T. How do we stop that? And what you're seeing, it's the other part that honestly offends me as a football fan. This is something that harkens back to the beginning of American football. And there are people that are complaining about it like it isn't cool to see the game go all the way back to the early 1900s to find some inspiration on how to change short yardage plays.
Yeah, man. I'm with you.
Now, don't get me wrong. I went to go see Matt Bowen's IC Catholic team play, and they played against St. Ignatius. And he warned me, he's like, they run triple option, so be ready when you're watching that. So I spent the whole game watching the defensive tackles for IC Catholic. Two good kids, they were getting destroyed. Like on every play, they were doing their jobs as defensive tackles of selling out and trying to change the line of scrimmage so the other guys can come up and make plays. So I get that you're going to have a lot of defensive players. They're going to be trampled in some of these scenarios, and safety is supposedly the name of the game now in the NFL. But there is something primal about the fact that this is what they're doing.
Yes.
It's their best guys against your best guys. Can you stop them from getting a yard?
A texter brings up a good point, though, Lawrence, about the difference between rugby and the NFL on this. Because in rugby, they start in a locked position, where they're just, you're locked with the other line, and then it's like, see how much you can move them. The NFL, they've got that minimum distance apart, so there's a collision. That's the difference in it, and the collision is where you get the safety concerns at the neck, head, and shoulder levels. So comparing it to rugby, it is a different thing. The football, American football is more violent and more dangerous than rugby.
Yeah, that's why don't wear helmets, too. Like
these guys wear helmets, and we love that they put their lives. We actually love that they put their lives and their mobility at risk on every play. As awful as it is, we actually love that.
I am a proponent of player safety. I also think that there is a line. And I am like, this is the play right here for me where the line is of even I think you're being too cautious because it doesn't always succeed. The Eagles have a high rate of success. Other teams don't
because
they might not have the personnel, whether we're talking about a quarterback who squats 600 pounds or not. Like we were saying earlier, Josh Allen is drawn up. Like, if you were saying, hey, could you find me a guy that's going to be able to just fall and get a yard if we push the defensive line back, it looks like Josh Allen.
Yeah, he doesn't get low enough. He needs to get lower. So, blocking a field goal by jumping over the defensive line, can't do that anymore. The goaltending on field goals by setting up in the end zone and jumping up and knocking it down.
And go get yourself a 7 foot tall guy back there and put him back there.
Can't do that anymore. What else? The holy roller, the forward fumble that the holy roller stopped. Was it Dave Casper, I think, to Ken Stabler or Stabler to Casper?
I mean, the immaculate Raiders reception is totally illegal.
Well, yeah, there's things that do get changed.
You can't hit the long snapper.
Uh-huh.
Like that's a thing, and we saw that play out with the Bears this past season.
Yeah, you can't do that. And of course, the horse collar tackle and the
low hip.
The hip drop
tackle.
So there's obviously precedent for things becoming illegal, but this is bigger.
To me, Speaks, it feels like there's a lot of teams that can't stop it, and they are going to cloak themselves in player safety to try to get it out of the game instead of them actually caring about player safety. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's a strategic thing that they can't figure out, and because of it, it must be illegal. And the way to get to it is to say, well, players are getting hurt by it. That's why I'm against this. I'm with the idea that the tush push should exist, and everyone else needs to step their game up to stop it.
I'm with you. A couple other things that they're talking about changing. One is the overtime rule. Shane, they're talking about just bringing the overtime rule in the postseason into the regular season. Right, like I think that's the big thing that they're hopefully going to do, because that's what it should be, where each team is guaranteed at least one possession.
It's guaranteed possessions. That's what it is. And that's the most important thing.
It has to be. It has to be the case.
The team who wins the coin toss is winning the game at like a 75% clip or something like that, or maybe it was 81%. I can't remember the exact number, but it's astronomical.
I think it's lower than that, but it's become more of an advantage. It went from 55% up to almost 57% from the team because
you can't just win with a field goal now on the first possession.
Right, but still the team that gets the first possession is winning. It's only become more of an advantage. It's got to be leveled out that each team gets at least one possession, and then you got sudden death from there.
But player safety, though, right? We're going to keep playing more minutes and have both teams possess the ball, but we're concerned about player safety, even though they just played 60 minutes of football.
Where are you guys at on the onside kick?
I don't like the declaration of the onside kick.
Okay.
I personally don't like it. I think that it takes away something from the actual onside kick.
Right.
Yeah, and the problem,
when to deploy it.
The problem with the declaration of the onside kick.
We're going to be onside kicking now.
Is that John Hancock signed it so big, unnecessarily. He took up so much space on the bottom, on the bottom of that thing. It's like, what are we doing? You know? Leave some space for everybody else.
I wish they would change it. Just make a little amendment to the rule and make it a proclamation of an onside kick, you know?
I like that.
Come out with the trumpet, you know?
How many? Yeah, the trumpet and the crumpets and the strumpets. That's right.
We will now be onside kicking to that guy right there.
It's weird, man.
41 onside kicks last year. 3 were recovered by the kicking team. The Bears were one of them, but 3 were recovered.
Yeah, when did they onside kick? They got it.
Was it
the Vikings?
Vikings, I think.
Yeah, it was the Vikings. They almost came back and made that a thing.
I am very much a proponent of the fourth and long rule, and some teams have or model the fourth and long model. Some teams have proposed this, whether
fourth
it be
and 15,
a fourth
right?
and 15 or a fourth and 20. It's an offense-driven league.
I really like that.
People want to see your offense out there. Give them a shot. The likelihood that you convert on fourth and 20 is about the same as the onside kick right now anyway.
So instead of trying to do the onside kick, which is almost always a travesty, you're talking about the offense goes out there and has a fourth and 15 or a fourth and 20?
Or a fourth and 20, yeah.
Or a fourth and 20. Yeah. And if they convert it, then you get the ball.
You get the ball where you converted to, yeah. Mm.
I'm okay with that play.
A little gimmicky for the NFL, maybe.
It is.
Like, you leave it up for a lot of DPI, and then it's like kind of a cop-out. You're trying to throw for a DPI, but that puts more pressure on the defense. I don't know. I'm for the fourth and long model.
They're talking about expanding replay assist, but Troy Vincent says that all they're really talking about is reviewing penalties that have been called on the field.
So not like a missed face mask
right.
or a missed horse collar.
Correct. But I think you should be able to do that. If it's something that obvious, especially the face mask, if somebody misses a face mask and you're dragging a guy down.
Yeah, I'm stuck on this one, Spees, because in spirit, I'm with you. Like, the idea of, shouldn't you go back and kind of get some infractions? But then I think if we do that, we're looking at four-hour games. I think that's how it's going to take a lot longer to get games done.
I don't know, man. Replay assist is so fast.
I do like what they've done so far.
Oh, my God. I think more things should be replay assist, because that fits what the original thing should be. Instead of reviews, an extra official that's either at the game.
The sky judge.
The sky judge. That's what it should be. And so the sky judge is like, no, I'm watching the game along with you guys. And he's part of the crew. And he's on the headset. And he says, nope, you missed that one. Or here, no, you missed that one. Or like, well, no, let's pick up that flag. And like, just let that guy be part of your crew. That's the way it should be, in my opinion. the way it always should have been.
It'll be interesting to see what things are going to continue to have life and what things are going to kind of die on the vine.
Speaks, you brought up the goaltending rule.
Yes,
one of my favorite rules in the NFL. Do you guys know how that one came to be?
No. Wasn't there like a 7-footer that was put on a team?
There was a guy by the name of Morris Stroud who the Kansas City Chiefs drafted in 1969. He was 6'10", the tallest tight end to ever play football. They say the second tallest person to ever play football at any position. He would go back there and knock the ball down. He didn't even play football in college. They drafted him because he was 6'10". He was a basketball player.
Wow.
And they drafted him to the NFL. He played for 5 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Anybody see?
And they made that rule because of him.
Anybody see the 7'6" Mamadou Ndiaye on the mound yesterday at Dodgers camp?
No.
Yeah. Mamadou Ndiaye.
Not bad mechanics.
Not bad mechanics, but you know the thing is, like, talk about extension. Yeah. I mean, how quickly? Boy, that fastball gets on you fast.
Yeah, that's on me.
He and Shohei Ohtani is 6'4", 210. He looks like Jose Altuve next to Aaron Judge when he's standing next to Mamadou Ndiaye.
That's crazy.
It's awesome.
Let's get to your favorite part of today's show.
Let's go.
You have been working on categories for a while. You even at some point asked Tanny to kind of get one of the topics, not realizing you were asking him to get one of the topics.
Yeah, we've got sound. We've got sound for one of the categories. Tanny doesn't know about it. This will be interesting.
All right. Categories next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, I think it's time to play the game.
We're playing the game?
Yes, we're playing the game.
Do we have to play the game?
What's the game?
The game is called Categories. You get to play along with us. Today, I am your host.
Da, 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 da.
There are 2 sports categories, 1 non-sports category, all based on goings-on in the sports world or on the show. Guys, ready to go?
Yeah, I'm excited. I have not done well in the last couple of categories, so maybe I can do better this time.
I think this one screams you.
Oh, Lord.
Lawrence Holmes.
Now I'm doomed.
All right, here we go. Category one.
Types of donuts.
With the NFL draft coming and the combine in place. By the way, we'll talk to Chris Emma at the top of the hour, live from the combine. I'm looking right here at every Bears draft pick from the last 5 years. The last five Bears drafts right in front of me. Lawrence Holmes, give me a name that the Bears took in the draft. How deep can we go on this one? Go.
Caleb Williams.
Is absolutely one of them. Tanny.
The other guy they took right after him that they shouldn't have taken. Roma Dunze.
Roma Dunze is correct. Shane.
Torrey Taylor.
Torrey Taylor. Lawrence.
Braxton Jones.
Braxton Jones, certainly, from 2 years ago in 2022. Tanny.
Roshan Johnson, the governor.
Roshan Johnson.
Kieran Amagaje.
Kieran Amagaje. Keep rolling, boys.
Darnell Wright.
Darnell Wright. Absolutely. Tanny.
Jervon Dexter.
You bet, Jervon Dexter. Shane.
Zach Pickens.
Zach Pickens.
Velus Jones.
Velus Jones Jr.
Junior.
Absolutely. Tanny.
I'm out.
Wow.
I know. It's just too much. Yeah, this is a really anxiety-inducing category here. Because it's recent memory.
It's recent
so you know
memory.
You should be getting them.
And there's so many. There's so many.
So I'm just going to tap out for my mental health.
Yeah, two-strike anxiety. I know. Enjoy the Sopranos. Shane.
Doug Kramer.
Doug. No, I'm sorry. Doug Kramer. Oh, yes. Doug Kramer. Yes. Round six in 2022. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Justin Fields.
Yeah, Justin Fields, 2021. You bet. Shane.
Ja'Tari Carter.
Ja'Tari Carter. That is a fun deep pull. Seventh rounder in 2022.
Darnell Mooney.
Darnell Mooney, 2020, round five.
Lachavius Simmons.
Lachavius Pig Simmons, round seven. Round seven in 2020. What's up, pig?
Tyreek Stevenson.
Tyreek Stevenson, absolutely.
Larry Borum.
Larry Borum, 2021, round five. Lawrence.
Jalen Johnson.
Jalen Johnson, 2020, round two.
Khalil Herbert.
Khalil Herbert. Khalil Herbert.
It's like a six-rounder, right?
Khalil Herbert. Shame. He must have been a 2019 pick.
Really?
I don't think so. Tanny, can you Google
Tanny,
that?
Tanny, can
You're
you
out.
Google that, please?
Nope. It says it's good. He's on there.
I dropped the pen. Can I have my pen?
Who is our guy who said I had Harold's chicken? It was actually bussin'.
Daz Newsome.
Oh,
Daz Newsome if you want.
I thought Daz Newsome was gonna be something, man.
We all did.
He is. He's something.
Yeah.
Everyone is something.
His mom thinks so.
Khalil Herbert, absolutely. Round six, 2021. Sorry about that. Okay, go ahead.
Jaquan Brisker.
Jaquan Brisker, absolutely.
When I couldn't remember his name, that's when I tapped out. I was like, he's a good player.
When he knew you're in trouble. Shane.
Our guy, who we only talked to his sister, Trestan Ebner.
Trestan Ebner. You bet.
That's a really good pull.
Mm-hmm.
Trestan
Ebner, round six, 2022. Come on, there's a whole bunch of guys
I know. I give.
All right, Shane, give me one more.
Kyler Gordon.
Good call. You got it. I thought of a name, but.
Kyler Gordon, yeah. Who did you have?
I the other punter.
Who's that?
They drafted another punter?
Yeah, because whenever Layla brings this up that they drafted two punters, I'm like, that's not real.
Two punters in 3 years, right?
Oh, Trenton Gill.
Trenton Gill.
Trenton Gill. Wow, that's pathetic.
He's on the list, right?
He sure is. Tevin Jenkins, we would have accepted.
Oh, Austin, I thought I had already said that. I wrote that down.
Austin Booker, Dominique Robinson, Cole Kmet did not get mentioned. Kendall Vildor, Arlington Hambright, guys like that.
Arlington Hambright, let's go.
All right, that's category one. It goes to Shane. Category two comes to mind because this man, a brand new Chicago Cub, hit a walk-off in game two of the 2017 NLCS.
Real quick, so I don't know what this is. I'm going to fire it. You had Studs put it in for me.
Yes.
So listeners know, like, I'm playing something. I have no idea what it is. So here it is. So one more time with the questions.
Okay.
Please.
It's this man hit a home run to walk off for game two in the 2017 NLCS for the Dodgers.
So, all right, back to the baseball thing.
What is this? Oh, wait.
What does this have to do with categories?
Do you say he was fired or he was?
Alex I haven't Cora being
seen
fired.
Cross here.
I like it.
What does this have to do with Alex Cora?
Has he been fired or was he suspended?
Choo, choo, choo.
All right. We'll try to figure that out here. Momentarily here.
I love that it you
probably has been
category,
suspended. But. It was the same thing that Rob Manfred.
But yeah, where's Julio?
There he is.
Yeah, Mark, Jeff Passan, just 47 seconds ago, Alex Cora out as Boston Red Sox manager following the fallout of the sign-stealing scandals that have enveloped baseball.
Out. So he uses the terminology.
Enveloped.
That's what I said.
No, it isn't.
So wait. So he's out as manager?
Yeah. What does that have to do with
speech? Yeah, I don't understand.
It doesn't. Got you a bunch of jerks. I'm trying to have some fun, play some audio.
Hey, Speaks, that doesn't seem like it fits any category.
Thank you. No. Thank you, Lawrence.
I just played what was put in by studs.
Yeah, probably a stud problem.
Maybe it's this one. Sorry, guys.
He's been as clutch as the Dodgers have. And Turner in the air to center field. That ball's hit well. Martinez on the run. This is way back, and it is gone. It is a walk-off home run for Justin Turner.
Justin Turner last week when he got to Cubs camp said, I'm not apologizing for hitting that home run to walk off the Cubs in 2017. I'm looking at that box score. I need every player in that Cubs and Dodgers game. Game 2, 2017 NLCS. Starts with you, Chris Tannehill.
Yasmani Grandal. Just because. Even though there's plenty of other names I could have gone with.
Oh, my God.
But I got to shout out Yaz, Lawrence's guy.
I don't think Yaz didn't play in that
Tim
game.
Tim Anderson's guy, too.
Yaz didn't play in that game.
Oh, no, he should have. They wouldn't have had to walk it off.
Austin Barnes went 0-for-4.
Yeah, they would have lost by 15.
Yaz never got in.
Wilson Contreras.
Wilson Contreras absolutely played in that game.
Lawrence. Anthony Rizzo.
Yes, Anthony Rizzo.
Chris Bryant.
Yes, Chris Bryant.
Javier Baez.
Javier Baez played in that game.
Ian Happ.
Ian Happ did not play in that game.
Huh. He was drinking coffee.
Oh, that's right. He was in the minors,
I think,
right?
I think after he had gone back down.
Oh, when he threw that temper tantrum in Iowa?
That's the one that nobody remembers. Ian Happ, not in that game. Lawrence, give us one more.
Justin Turner.
All right, so yes, Justin Turner.
Did Carl Edwards Jr. pitch in that game?
Carl Edwards Jr. absolutely pitched in that game, along with Pedro Strop and Brian Dunsing.
Damn.
Love Stropey.
Who gave up the home run to Justin Turner there? Anybody remember?
Mike Montgomery.
John Lackey is the guy.
He come here for no haircut.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so Lawrence has a category. Woo! Shane has a category. We've been talking a lot about ships this week. Cruise ships. And the Love Boat as well came up. I'm looking at a list of the 15 most famous ships in human history, post-Bible. These are big ships, famous ships that were involved in big things in human history after the Bible. 16 of them. Shane, give me a famous ship.
So I'll go with Titanic?
Number one on the list.
Good choice.
Is the Titanic.
The Nina.
The Nina is absolutely on the list.
Here comes the run on Columbus's ship.
It's like a run on tight ends when they start going in the draft.
Do it in order.
No, I'm going Santa Maria.
It's always
my favorite.
You skipped it.
The Santa Maria is on the list.
The Pinta.
Yeah.
Good choice.
I should have saved all of mine for that.
Hell yeah. That's why we do categories right there. Lawrence, do you have another famous ship?
The USS Intrepid?
Let me see if they gave... They don't. It's a fine guess by you. I got to say. You could quibble with the list.
Oh, man.
The Intrepid is not on there. I'm so sorry. You're out.
Damn it.
Tanny, a ship.
The Mayflower?
Number four on the list is the Mayflower.
You're really on a kick right now, Tanny.
Well.
He's rolling. Long time settler guy.
It's all the history books I've been reading.
The USS Arizona.
The USS Arizona, 100%, is on the list. Famous battleship of the navies. It was sunk following Pearl Harbor.
Sunk my
Tatty.
Battleship.
Friendship. No.
In our hearts.
I read a book about this, so if it's not on the list, it's a bad list. The Wager.
Oh man, that's a good book, isn't
it? Yeah, it really is.
I've heard. Yeah, it's not on the list. I want to read that.
Well, shot not the wager.
Is it
then.
David Graham who wrote
yes,
that? I believe.
Yes, David Graham.
Guy wrote Killers of the Flower Moon.
Supposedly, Scorsese bought the rights to that book for the next, not the next DiCaprio movie, but for one of the ones they're going to be working on.
It's an awesome story. No, the wager's not there. Shane, one more ship.
The USS Constitution.
100% the Constitution. Shane knows his ship.
Is the Lusitania on there?
Number two on the list is the Lusitania.
Ah!
The Victory, the Bounty. There was a mutiny
Give me the
there.
Rest of the list.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated now.
The HMS Beagle, the HMS Bounty, the USS Enterprise.
I should have guessed that.
The Queen Mary. How about the Queen Mary and the QE2, the Queen Elizabeth II?
Intrepid should have been on the list.
I think you're right. Intrepid should be on
what
the list.
What is the criteria to make this top 15 of the most famous ships? Is it like Instagram followers?
It's a blogger. It's a blogger on the historian.com. Gotcha. Seems a little subjective.
Famousships.com. Famousships.gov.
.edu, I believe. Because we all learned a little something today. And the winner of categories with ships and bears is Shane
nice
Reardon.
Job, Shane. Oh, my goodness.
There we go. Game over.
Game over. That was good. That was really good.
It was fun.
I think
nice
you probably
rewards. Absolutely.
I think you probably went a little far on
ships.
Needing the sound bite to set up your topic.
Yeah, probably. I just wanted to have some fun. I think Tanny went a little far swapping in the other one to try to make it.
Again, that was a studs thing.
He
not Tanny, that was
enough.
Studs.
He didn't go far enough, as far as I'm concerned.
It's a good call. Texters are like, where is the Edmund Fitzgerald? They were angry. So many people texting in their ships.
And a lot of people here, Easter.
Uh-huh.
What's the one that sank here?
Oh, the Eastland.
The Eastland, the one that George was supposed to be on.
The one that went down at Fort Dearborn?
George Halas was supposed to be on Eastland, but he woke up late. And didn't make it.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
The Eastland. No, the Eastland went down in the river. It was supposed to. Yeah, so I guess it was Fort Dearborn.
I think Fort Dearborn was where it's going, but it went down at like Michigan and Wacker.
Correct. That's where it went down. And you know where they stored the bodies? Was in what became Harpo Studios. Where
really?
Oprah did her show.
I worked in that studio.
Yeah, that's where they stored the
bodies.
You
get a corpse.
No way.
They're all on Oprah's favorite things.
That's amazing. I never knew that.
Yeah.
That's
he wanted to put Gail
stuff.
Down there so bad at one point.
And then they put all those corpses on a plane. Call back to transition.
That's where I thought you were going
with
that.
I know.
How the hell?
It's even more interesting than that. They drown him. First, they drown him.
Speaks, what if I told you I was going to say something really nice about a player that I dislike?
Oh, I like it. I want to hear that.
All right, we'll do that next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Okay.
See, we're in full service, 670 The Score station.
Afternoons on The Score.
Kobe and the goody-giddy. One bounce, lets it fly. Three ball, good.
Well, Josh Giddey had to corral that pass in, but wow, he has got the stroke going tonight. Giddey, 4 of 4 from behind the three-point line.
Highlight courtesy of The Score. Spiegs last night, I think, was Josh Giddey's best game as a Bull.
You know, yesterday, Marshall brought up the idea of re-signing Josh Giddey.
That was a game that will make them think about it.
I groaned. I groaned audibly. And I know that he's a guy who's producing like crazy. And he does have an intriguing skill set. And he's a fantasy basketball darling, but... And somebody's going to pay him as a restricted free agent, what, $20 million, $22 million a year? And the Bulls will have slots to fill and money to hand out. But, oh, God, I don't like it, Lawrence.
To be clear, I would not bring him back. And I'm not a fan of his because he doesn't defend or play nearly as physical enough as his frame would make you think. Last night, though, I thought he did that, especially offensively. He was as aggressive as I've ever seen him play with the Bulls. And I know that he's got the couple of nights of triple-doubles. I thought this particular game, he was going to the basket strong, wasn't afraid of contact, wasn't afraid of getting his nose dirty. He finished the game in this one with 21 points, 12 assists, and 8 rebounds. he was really terrific. And I thought the way he was looking for his teammates, the way that you draw up like a Josh Giddey played game is what happened last night. It's, oh, look at this. He's playing offense. He's hitting threes. So it gives him a little bit of space now where he can operate. I thought that he did really well on fast breaks last night of finding the open guy in the corner and that guy knocking it down. Kevin Huerter was one of those guys that was hitting some threes off of that. It was really, really well done. He wasn't the star, by the way.
Yeah, but hold on. But four straight 20-point double-doubles for Josh Giddey.
Mm-hmm.
He joins only Michael Jordan and Clem Haskins. Those are the only three guards in the history of the franchise to have four straight 20-point double-doubles.
I understand. I wish this would have happened earlier in the season and we saw it more consistently than what we have seen from Josh Giddey. Hmm. Also, I had a moment last night where I was mad at our guy Modest. Modest got stripped and didn't TAB to the other side of the court, and it was disheartening. Because if anyone...
You can say tab. It's right above the caps lock.
Yes.
On the left of the keyboard.
Tab.
Tab. He didn't tab.
It's a good drink, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. From our youth.
How can I give you a tab? You didn't even order anything yet.
From our youth.
Remember how they used to market that drink to women only?
It was like a pink can, wasn't it?
It was. It was very
But it was delicious.
Yeah, I loved it. My mom used to buy it all the time. She's a woman.
My mom, too. She absolutely. She's like, oh, that's for me.
I love tab.
It was a lot easier back then. You could just say, this is for broads. And the broads, the women would be like, yeah, I'm in. Let's go for it. Women.
Okay.
Yeah. Saying that's what they used to say.
Everyone,
hey,
let's
look,
be careful out there.
You know,
Spiegs actually came here to this job after he was a marketing executive for Tampax.
Clearly,
very successful.
Thank you very much. Very successful career there.
So look, I know that a lot of people have checked out on the Bulls, and I get exactly why you would do that. Zach Collins last night was amazing. 21 points.
The former first-round pick catcher, right?
No. The White Sox are working on framing, though, strangely at a time when baseball is going away from real umpires.
Just in time for robot umps.
But it's fine. 21 points, 17 rebounds, 7 assists for Zach Collins last night.
Man. All right, well, good. You know, like... These are the moments when, especially the guys who
They're
got traded
the
for...
They
are 1-6 since Arturas said, well, we've only
got
30
games to play.
Got 30 games left. Let's pay attention here and see exactly what happens, shall we?
Here's the thing, though, Spiegs. The other two teams that have a chance to catch the Bulls,
yeah,
the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers are terrible. The Sixers have lost 9 in a row. And Brooklyn lost last night, and they've lost 2 straight. So I just think they're going to end up in that 9-10 game. It's going to be them and, I'm guessing, the Heat, not Atlanta, who is right in front of them. I'm guessing that Atlanta makes it to the 8th spot.
Man.
But
yeah, because, I mean, Bernsey and Marshall have been talking about this. Like, since that next 30 games press conference, Bulls are 1-6. And since New Year's Day, they are 8-18, but they've been in that 10 spot every single day of this calendar year.
Yep.
Every day of the calendar year, they've been locked and loaded in that 10 spot.
I think that's where they're going to end up.
So if you are watching from the full zoomed out position of just wanting tank wins every night, even when they're coming in the form of a loss to the Clippers, you're not damaging your win percentage enough.
What last night was, though, I'll tell you this much. If you are someone who enjoys James Harden, and I know his game is not aesthetically pleasing, it was full show from him last night. They ran screen roll, step back three, right wing for Harden all night. And it worked. All night last night. It was vintage James Harden. And no one from the Bulls had any chance of being able to stop him last night. 7 of 14 from three.
I got to be honest, Lawrence. I'm just going to have to lean into being who I am, because like I have loved the NBA for a long, long time. I can speak NBA, go way back in terms of my enjoyment of it, et cetera, yada, yada, yada. Regular season NBA has devolved to a point that it is really low on my list of things to choose.
You're not wrong, Spiegs. A lot of people feel this way about the game and
regular season. Like, I love playoff NBA, absolutely love it, but it's got to be a very special atmosphere and effort level. Like, I can watch a Tibbs Knicks team.
Well, we'll have it tonight, right? Isn't Lakers Dallas tonight?
That was
two nights ago.
So, but is tonight the second of the back to back?
Yeah, tonight 9:30.
Okay. All right, well, that's worthy of some attention. That's worthy of some attention to see if how the Luka LeBron thing is working and to see the energy there.
I think
it's
working really well.
Yeah, it's working just fine.
Watching Luka outlet pass to LeBron, it's like Kevin Love outlet passing to LeBron, where they had, it was a couple games ago, it wasn't against Dallas, it was a couple games ago, they had three breaks where the ball didn't hit the floor. Mm-hmm. Where Luka grabs the rebound, passes it to LeBron, and LeBron takes two steps and lays it in.
Yeah, they did that again.
They did that three times.
That's outrageous.
In a game.
That's got to be pretty fun.
Right? Yeah. Like, how do you draw it up? Well, this 6'8 guy is going to pass to that 6'8 guy who's running past everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just going to lay it in. That's worth watching. You're 100% right about everything else. I'm just watching the Bulls stuff because I'm just like, I want to look at some of these players and see what's going on. It just makes me sad, though, because I know that they're just going to end up back in the play-in. The hamster wheel, man.
Yeah.
That's what we're on.
But thankfully, this draft is deep. There's some real interesting players.
Yes, it's so, a very good. It's top heavy, but it's also good.
Yeah, it's top heavy, but they should be in a spot where they'll get one of those top guys, theoretically and hopefully.
But they'll be in the play-in.
I think it was Adam Schefter. Oh, sorry, no, wrong sport. Never mind.
Wrong sport.
Yep. Sorry.
My bad, guys.
Shane, you're right. We've already spent too much time on it.
I think it was Commissioner Faye Vincent who was talking. Oh, sorry.
We never got to finish that.
I think it was Emily Kaplan who was reporting that. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. Wrong sport.
I was just reading something about draft depth, and it triggered that in my head.
I understand.
My bad.
Paul Giamatti's father, Bartlett Giamatti. Sorry.
Can you guys believe that the Bismarck wasn't on that list?
The
Bismarck.
That's a good call.
You know what I mean? Absolutely should have. But it also would have been on the list of best donuts for Lawrence.
Yeah, I agree.
What is a Bismarck donut?
It's just like a Boston
cream, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's got schmutz on the inside.
They have a good one downstairs at the Dollop.
A Bismarck?
Yeah, huh. You can get a good one there. It's vegan. It's actually really tasty.
Love vegan donuts. Beacon, awesome.
Yeah, because Beacon and Dollop are partnered up in the building.
They have a good Bismarck and they have a good Lusitania down there.
They do. And in Eastland.
Oh, no.
That George Halas was late for.
So sad.
I can't believe you didn't know that story.
I didn't know that story.
Yeah, George Halas was supposed to be on that. The whole league doesn't exist if George wakes up on time.
We're late. It's Shane's fault.
It's George's fault. Well, let's talk
football.
Just
Chris Hemma.
Wow.
Oh, come on.
That's not real nice.
Come on. I think he's really good.
Chris Hemma joins us next here on The Score.